Just give me a moment. I just need to. Just to think how much he loves me. There's nothing like the blood of Jesus. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Most of you are aware. This year we're celebrating under the theme, Push Beyond Your Means, which has also become the theme for our Easter convention. This month we are celebrating Outreach Month. This month and April, we are asking you to go beyond your means. Get out of your comfort zone. Think about someone else. So this month we're celebrating under the theme, How to Amaze People. There are a lot of things that amaze me. And I suspect there are some things that amaze you. I want to invite you to come with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Most of the scriptures that I would be reading in your hearing, because I want to make a biblical argument, not a personal philosophical argument, but a biblical argument that finds itself in reality, right where you are. So when you have read this passage with me, or when you would have followed along, don't close your Bible or your iPad or iPhone or whatever else you have. Keep it flexible, because I want you to see that what we are talking about is what God Himself is saying. So I read now from the Amplified Bible, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Everybody has it? Say amen if you do. If you don't have it, just say, wait a minute, Pastor, I'll wait for you. Okay, I'll give you 2, 3. She got it. Listen to the word of God, would you please? For it is God who works in you. That would be the King James. The Amplified reads like this: For it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is, strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for His good pleasure. Let me just say that again. Read that one more time. For it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is, strengthening. Somebody says strengthening. Energizing. Come on, let me hear you. Energizing and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for His good pleasure. I want you to keep that passage. Hang it in the clothesline of your mind and let the Holy Spirit breathe on it. Father, we are so grateful. We don't want to rush in and rush out of your presence. We want to spend some time with you today. We want to hear from you today. We, God, want you to show up and show out today. And as a result, we want to be changed. We want to be energized, strengthened, so that we can more effectively do your work. So now, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. You are our God and our Redeemer. Let the church say, let the church say, come on, give God praise as you take your seats. Come on, open your mouth and bless the Lord in this place. You may not have expected this, but I want everybody who knows it to say it with me. The vision of Cane Gardner Baptist Church is becoming a place where people are made whole. Our mission statement is creating an environment where wholeness may be experienced. Cane Gardner Baptist Church has three major aspirations. One is to become a prayer-saturated church. It means that from the smallest to the greatest of us, from the youngest to the oldest of us, would see prayer not as something we do, but as something we are. Saturated. It won't be an afterthought. It won't be an addendum. And then we go back to business as usual. One man said, I have never prayed for 15 minutes at any one time. But there has never been 15 minutes pass without I pray. Let the Holy Spirit sink that in your whole, in your heart. The second aspiration is to become a biblically literate church where we not only read and study the Word, but we apply the Word of God to our hearts so that all that we do, all that we say would be governed by God. And the third aspiration is to become a grace community of hope. I want to lift up the theme today. His grace is amazing. Turn to your neighbor and tell somebody, His grace, I don't know if it's my ears or it's you, just weak. Can I hear that one more time? His grace. Oh, it wasn't my ear. You just plugged in on the next generator there. Come on, say this with me. His grace, is amazing. During the next few weeks and beyond, we shall seek to define and illustrate what a grace community church of hope looks like. I want to pause here to just say how thankful I am for the people, the Cane Gardner Baptist Church team that God has surrounded me with. Needless to say, I am thrilled. I am thrilled by the opportunities and the possibilities to enhance the kingdom of God as we share in holistic ministry together. In a community, people are gifted differently. They function diversely, but they have things common. Somebody say common. Here at Cairn Godman Baptist Church, we are bent on becoming a place where people are made whole and where wholeness may be experienced. As we seek to exalt the Savior, edify the saint, and evangelize the sinner. All of these are undergirded by love. Somebody say love. So the question I want to ask first is, what does it mean to become a grace community of hope? I want you to follow. To become is simply to be. Come be who you are. For the truth of the matter is, you cannot become what you are not. The believer is already everything he will be. Yet the believer is waiting to become what he is. For in Christ, we are complete. While we yet wait for a change to come. For the record says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, and those whom he did predestine, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, declared free from the guilt of sin. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity. The record further states in Ephesians 2:5-7, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been made alive together with Christ and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Watch this. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Let me break that down for you. So what God is saying, while we walk here on earth, we are at the same time sitting in the heavenly. While here, we are fighting not to win, but we are fighting from a position of victory. Right. Becoming what we already are. And God says, you don't have to try to overcome. He says, you are indeed already more than a conqueror. So I want you to understand this morning that the believer is becoming what he already is because he is what he's becoming. And God is saying to the church, if you ever understand who you are in Christ, you'll stop your pity party. You'll stop whining. You'll stop feeling hopeless and understand that God has given you everything you need to be what you are. Oh, take it now. Take it out. The grace community. Who are we? I want to share a few things with us and take our seats. Who are we? So we're looking at grace. Because if we are going to become what we are, a grace community, we need to understand what grace is. Who are we? First of all, we are saved, somebody saved, and kept safe by the grace of God. The only way to heaven, and I want you to hear God, the only way to heaven is through the doorway of grace. You can't earn your way into heaven. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. For it is by grace, God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment, and eternal life is given to you through faith in Christ. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved, gracious gift of God given to you when you should have been sent to hell. So every believer needs to understand that you have been saved by grace. It's not by works. It's not something you earn. It's not something you can buy. It is by the grace of God. Notice what the verse says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. The grace is not yours. The faith is not yours. The salvation is not yours. It's all of God. But not only are we saved by grace, we are also kept safe by grace. No, I don't know what you've been taught. I don't know who you've been listening to, but I want you to hear God. We cannot, somebody say cannot. We cannot lose our salvation because it is a gift of God. If you could earn it, then you could lose it the very moment you stop deserving it. Don't get quiet. I know it's maybe contrary to what you've been thinking. That's why you are so messed up. Because every time you make a mistake, every time you fail to measure up, you hurt yourself. But God says all that you would ever be, I've already made it possible for you to be. When Jesus said it is finished, it means the past is finished, the present is finished, the future is finished. If that weren't so, he would have to be dying all over again. Stay with me now. I know this is going to be a little rough for you to hold on to, but if you get it, you're going to be happy for the rest of your life. Now, Jude 24 says, to him who is able, not to Melvin, not to Michael, not to Cain, God of Baptist Church, but to him who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling into sin and to present you unblemished, blameless, and faultless in the presence of his glory with triumphant joy and unspeakable delight. It is God who saves you, and it is God who keeps you. I said to folk all the time, if you save yourself, then you are responsible to keep yourself. Whoever saved you is responsible to keep you. But I'm glad we are saved by grace and kept by grace. If you understand that, you'll give the Lord praise right here. Who are we? Who is this community of grace? First of all, we are saved and kept by grace. But there's something else I need to tell you. We are also forgiven by grace. Though we don't deserve it, God wipes our slates clean by his grace. I want you to get this. And this is not only of past sins. God does not only forgive you of past sins, and God does not only forgive you of present sin. God has already forgiven you of future sins. You need to hear what God is saying. I only am God who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins, Isaiah 43:25. Listen, my brothers and sisters, folks will not let you forget what you did. And some of you have not learned to forgive yourself. But my Bible tells me when I come to God and ask him to forgiveness, he not only forgives me, but he casts my sins in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against me anymore, forever. So you need to stop going back to God for things you already confessed. And say, God, I come again asking you to forgive me again. And God is like, what are you talking about? I've already done that. Walk in forgiveness. Walk in freedom. You don't deserve to be forgiven. But that's why it's grace. Nah. I may be in the wrong place. But some of you look pretty nice to me, and you've never done anything wrong. Always got your T's dotted and your I's crossed, and I know I'm saying it opposite. I'm doing that on purpose. Because as much as you think you have it together, you don't. That's what I'm trying to say. But even if you did, the truth of the matter is, no matter how much you try to hold it together, you cannot hold it together. Is anybody here with me who doesn't always get it together? Come on, lift your hand if you don't always get it together. Is there anybody else here who doesn't always get it right? Come on. Is there anybody else here who doesn't always say it right? Okay. I want to give you some freedom here this morning. What God is saying, you don't have to get it right. You don't have to say it right. I've done it right. When you get that, then you'll have a desire to please him. But if you're trying to please him in your own strength, you will never make it, because it's God who works in you. You can't do it. And that's the problem with religion. Religion is always telling us we've got to reach God, whether by good works or by keeping the law. And the truth of the matter is, you never know when you've done sufficient. But Jesus said, I paid the price. Tell somebody he paid it. Who are we? It's important that we understand who we are, so we don't be acting cocky and judgmental. We are not only saved by grace and forgiven by grace, but we are empowered by grace. Tell somebody, we are empowered by grace. You see, God will not ask you to do something that he doesn't give you the ability and the power to do. The power and ability to do what God requires of you is called grace. You see, whenever God commands you to do something, his very commandment is your empowerment. Listen to what the word says, for it is, in our text, not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is strengthening and energizing and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. I want you to understand that God didn't place you here to live for you. He placed you here to live for him. And how do you live for him? By doing whatever glorifies him. And that's not in isolation. That's in relationship to all that you do and say. And that includes people. You cannot be any closer to God vertically than you are horizontally to people. In other words, you can't talk about how much you love God and hate people. As a matter of fact, God is so bent on helping us understand this that he says, if you come to me talking about your worshiping and offering your gift and you remember that somebody has ought against you, you have not done in them anything wrong. You are not the guilty party. Jesus says, I don't care about that. I don't care who's right. I want peace in my house. Those of you that are married know that peace is better than right. You can have your right and not sleep, or you can be at peace and sleep. If I had a choice, and I do, I'll choose peace above my right. And watch this. We are empowered by grace. So when you feel you can't do it, grace says, as Paul echoes, I can do all things through Christ. So I'm not too small for this great thing. I just need to tap into my great God. You see, with God, nothing is impossible, because the impossible is always possible with God, because possibilities are always in God. And what we call impossibilities are everyday occurrences with God. And I want to say this, if you are truly a believer, miracles can be an everyday occurrence. But notice something else. Who are we? Most of us in this room were messed up, are messed up, should have been messed up, would be messed up. Do I have any messed up person in here? All the things you've been through, all the things people have said about you, come on, talk to me now. All the mess you have been through, you should have been crazy by now. You should have been dead by now. You should have lost your mind already. But the Bible says we are healed by grace. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. All the things you have been exposed to, all the things you have experienced, have left you broken and confused and you're all messed up. But the Bible says in Psalms 143, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wound, healing their pain and comforting their sorrow. Has anybody here ever been deceived? Come on, talk to me now. Has anybody here ever been betrayed? And watch this. It doesn't really matter if somebody who hates you messes you up, but it hurts much more when somebody closest to you. Has anybody had anybody walk in and walk out of your life and your heart is broken? You could not overcome that. In fact, the psychologist said, we can't do nothing else for you. And the doctor says, we don't see nothing wrong with you, but you know you're not right. But God says, if you ever have a case of healing needed, there is a balm in Gilead. And this is not just spiritual healing. This is healing for your finance, healing for your emotions, healing for your spirit, healing for your intellect. Whatever you need, God's got it. There is a balm. We have been healed. See, folks don't understand us. Folks don't understand. Some of us were drug addicts. Don't lift your hand, because they might still want to think you are. Some of us were drunkards. Some of us were harlots, couldn't save a dime. We were messed up. But look at us now. Come on, talk to me, somebody. You're looking fine here in church, but the truth is, you've not always been like that. Grace. Somebody say grace. We are a community of grace. But I want to hurry on down. And not only are we saved and not only are we forgiven and all the rest of the other stuff I mentioned before, but I want to move quickly and tell you, according to the Word of God, we are also liberated. Somebody said liberated. By grace. Our relationship with Jesus isn't a bunch of chores to do. It isn't a bunch of rules to follow. Instead, hear me today, it is about resting in what Christ has already done. Let me hear you, and I want you to really shout. If your Christian life is not a life of resting in Christ, you are moving into legalism. But do I have anybody here who understands that in Christ I have been set free? Is there anybody here free this morning? I want you to shout, I'm free! Liberated. That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, come to me. I know everybody be abandoned. I know everybody else forsook you. I know everybody trying to be on you and condemn you and judge you. But come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace. Burdened by pressure, burden, by all kinds of demand on you that you can't handle. Come on, talk to me now. If you are a parent, every now and then, if you have a child that's very active, every now and then you want a little relief. Am I talking to anybody? You go to work and sometimes the pressure is on. It's not just the work itself. It's the whole environment, political environment. I never seen more politics on the job, politics in church, politics everywhere. Just wear you off. Can't nobody do nothing unless it's politically oriented. It's a burden. Even church becomes a burden. Oh, no, you'll get quiet now because you're probably part of the problem. But listen to what the scripture says in the Amplified. He says, heavily burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace, and I will give you rest, refreshing your soul with salvation. Watch out. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, following me as I disciple you, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, renewal, blessed quietness for your soul. For my yoke, he repeats, is easy. Easy to bear, and my burden is light. Why are we so critical and judgmental of each other? Why do we want to judge others by their actions, and we want them to judge us by our intentions? Let me explain what I'm talking about. Most of us, we look for people to go wrong. In fact, if the truth be told, we plot wrongness. I'm going to make up some words. And evilness. Most of us don't sleep. We are always conniving, seeing how I can pull her down, seeing how I can bring him down. And we're always so hard on each other. When God says, don't worry about them, they forgot that I saved them. They forgot that I delivered them. They forgot that I liberated them by grace. And now they're trying to pretend like they always do it right, have these high expectations that they can't reach, but expect you to reach. I never call you to a set of rules. I call you to serve in love. See, there's a difference. I heard the story. Let me just slow it down here. I heard the story of this man who had married a wife, and he had a whole set of rules for her to follow. And he would make a list every day, 25 things you ought to do before you leave the house for one day. She was so miserable in the relationship. No matter what she did, she could never satisfy him. If he asked for breakfast, she would boil the egg. He said, no, I want it fried. So one day she got ingenious. I'm going to give him boiled and fried egg. Do you know that good for nothing came by and said, honey, you fried the wrong egg. And that is what church has become. A set of rules. But when you serve in love, you'll do 25, you'll do 50, you'll do 100 and not even think about it, because when you're driven by love, you don't feel the pressure. And that's why Jesus says, I give you a new law. But I want to move on. So we are empowered by grace, and we are liberated by grace, but we are also gifted. Somebody say gifted by grace. In this community of grace, God knows that we need all kinds of people in which to glorify him and how we can accomplish his work here on earth. And don't get upset with people who are different from you. God specializes in diversity. Come on, tell somebody, God does not have a problem with diversity. In fact, he created us different. He gifted us different. I'm longing for the day when it won't matter what kind of clothes you wear. It won't matter how you look Oh, my God, I'm waiting and longing for the day when this church and all other places that call themselves the body of Christ will be able to embrace people from all walks of life and let them know that I got in by grace. You get in by grace. We're all in this by grace. The way it is right now, we forget that we've been gifted. God has given each of us the ability to do something well. And we are not to use those abilities for ourselves, but rather to glorify Him. Listen to what the Word says. Since we have been given gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to use them accordingly. If someone has the gift of prophecy, let him speak a new message from God to his people in proportion to the faith possessed. In other words, whatever God has gifted you with, don't let nobody hold you back. Go ahead. Walk in your gift. Exercise your gift. And you'll know when it's from God because it does not divide the body. Instead, it builds up the body. I got to move quickly. There's a seventh thing that I want to bring to your mind real quickly. If you flip your Bible over to Ephesians 3 and 7, I'll show it to you real quick, and we'll move on. I've told folks over and over again, I am not dispensable, and I'm the senior pastor. Okay? Let's see if you get this. When it comes to church, when it comes to the kingdom of God, nobody is indispensable. Now, we got a problem sometimes, and I understand. We are always seeking people with gifts. God may not need nor want your gift. What God wants is you to be available to Him. Because if you have your gift and you're cocky about it, if you have your gift and you are crazy about it, if you have your gift and you're only concerned about your own agenda, then God is saying, what I need is somebody that's available to me. Your gift will make room for you, but your character will sustain you. Got a whole lot of folks with gifts, but you haven't gotten a promotion on the job. Not because you're not talented, not because you're not gifted. You got a stinking attitude. Come on, talk to me now. So watch this. He says, of this gospel, I was made a minister by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Whatever ability you have, understand your source is God. That's why I tell folks, I don't mind what you say about me. I don't mind what you do to me. And every child of God should have this attitude. You can shut up the resource, but I have my source, and God will reopen another resource. Somebody needs to understand that if somebody wants to stop you from being what God wants you to be here, God can open up another door somewhere. In other words, you can't keep a good man of God down because the good man of God's step is ordered by the Lord. So shut up one brook and God will open another brook. So, number 8, we're almost there. We are gifted by grace and we are also transformed by grace. Through His grace, God makes us new. Somebody said new. Through the renewing of our minds. Now, if that weren't true, we would be more than difficult to get along with. Because after being disappointed once, betrayed twice, you can develop a hard heart. After somebody has used you, abused you, took your money from you, and listen to me now, we got folks who have no intention of paying back, but they come to you, can you loan me $5? Now, I ain't got no problem giving you $5, but when you ask me to lend you, to loan you, I'm expecting repayment. But some folks have no intention of repaying. And God is saying, that is a problem. If you've had people who have used you, you can develop a hard mind and a hard heart so that you never give to anybody. And that's why the Holy Spirit of God continues to renew our minds. He said, never mind, they did it to Jesus. Never mind, they did it to Paul. Never mind. But God is able. Tell somebody, God is able. So a community of grace, we don't mind being vulnerable. I want you to hear me. You see, a lot of folks think, and don't get it screwed, don't get it mixed up. If you are in an abusive relationship, you need to get help and get out of that. That's not what we're talking about. Okay? So don't say, until death do us part, let him kill me, and then we part. No. God has given you wisdom. He's given you sense. That's not what we're talking about. Are you with me now? But there are a lot of people who think we are stupid as Christian folk. Come on, talk to me. Because they did do a whole lot of stuff to us. And we like, how you doing, brother? Bless you in the Lord. Amen. It's so good to see you. God bless you. In other words, we should be cursing them. But we blessing them. And they're like, it's an idiot. I'm trying to kill him. And it's not that we are stupid. It's that we serve a God who has forgiven us of so much that it now brings us to the point where we are able to give much more than the ordinary person. Now, I'm going to bring you the last thing, and listen to this. All of this is setting us up for outreach. Now that we are understanding who we are, and the final thing I want to bring to your mind, because Romans 12:2 talks about being transformed, but here's the last thing I want to bring to your mind for the day. Who are we, this community of grace? Write this down as you would have done the others. We are matured by grace. Tell somebody, I'm matured by grace. Okay. God's work of making us like Jesus happens not because we've earned it by our own effort, but because of the grace of God. Listen to what he says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and 18 as we come down to the close. He says, but grow spiritually mature in the grace and knowledge of Christ. To him be glory, honor, majesty, splendor, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. We are matured by grace. Okay. So what is the vision? What is the aspiration for this church? To become a community of grace, a community of matured people. The problem is too many of us are immature. You see, a lot of us have been saved for years, but we're still drinking milk. Okay. Look at me now. Now, can you imagine, Sister Ritzia, can you imagine a guy that's 25 years old, okay? He's obviously developing well. I mean, the doctor has not diagnosed him with anything funny. So he should be operating like a 25-year-old. Instead, he don't drink no milk but in a bottle. So everywhere he goes, he's got this baby bottle drinking milk. Isn't that a funny sight? Not only that, he doesn't have any malady that we know about, but he's wearing diapers. Well, Pampers, you know what I'm talking about. He's wearing Pampers because he doesn't have the sense, or he's not even willing to go to the bathroom. He just does what he needs to do where he does it. In other words, he's functioning like a baby. Now, that's a disgusting picture, don't you think? Well, I want you to know, if that's disgusting to you, can you imagine what God sees when he looks down? Come on now, talk to me now. How long you've been saved? Uh-oh. How long you've been walking with God? And yet, if somebody looks at you funny, you say, I'm not going to church no more. I'm not serving the Lord no more. I'm not going to do anything for God anymore. Wait a minute now. You are immature. Who are you serving? Come on now, talk to me. You see, because we are now mature in Christ, we no longer dwell on the shallow things of life. We have grown up. Tell somebody, we have grown up. We no longer hold grudges. We are matured. Tell somebody we are matured. We are no longer judgmental and condemnatory. We seek to lift others, not to pull them down. We're no longer drawing attention to ourselves. We are seeking to exalt Jesus Christ. We are amazed by his grace. Tell somebody, God's grace is truly amazing. Stand with me. Now, when we come from this perspective, understanding all that God has done for us and all that God is doing for us, we cannot help but reach out to others. Let me just punctuate all of this by saying, recipients of grace must at least be gracious. Come on now. Is there any recipients of grace? Lift your hand if you are a recipient of God's grace. Has God forgiven you when he should have killed you? Did God give you a second chance when you should have been dead and written off? So you are a recipient of grace. You should have lost your mind. You're not the brightest. You should have lost your job. But God's favor kept you. And you say it's not fair, but grace is never fair. That's what favor is all about. God blesses whom he would bless. If we understand this, my brothers and sisters, then we can amaze others as we reach out. Because we don't care how they smell. We don't care how they look. We don't care even how they talk. We see a person that needs grace as much as we needed and still need grace. So I'm going to ask you, as you bow your heads with me in these closing moments, my prayer for us individually is that we will become persons of grace, committing random acts of kindness, showing love when hatred is all we receive. So, Lord, I pray now that as we bring this part of our service to a close, that you will show us that you extended grace to us. It's now our turn to be gracious. Is anybody still struggling with unforgiveness? Are you still struggling with someone who has hurt you or done you wrong? As a person of grace, you must learn to forgive so that God can forgive you. I'm going to ask you to come, and whatever it is, whatever issue it is, I'm going to ask you to come and let's lay it at the altar once and for all. It may be a person or it may be a situation. Let's lay it down. Let's bring them to God right now.
Because of you.
Go ahead and thank him.
And praise you too.
His grace.
Your grace and mercy.
It brought me through.
Brought me through.
All right, let's just stay right here. I'm not going to prolong this. Here's what I want you to do. My brothers and sisters, I don't think there's any argument if I tell you that we're living in tough times. There are a lot of people that are struggling in church, out of church. And they need a support system. For far too long, the church has been turning people away. And by church, I mean the body of Christ. We have been too judgmental, too condemnatory. And God is saying, that's not the church that I established. I established a church that looks beyond the faults of people and see their need. And so I want us to get out of our comfort zone and confront the people with love that you know have planned your demise. Show them love. Show them the grace of God. Show them what it is to be a child of God. And I guarantee you, God will be glorified. Give God praise, somebody. The church.